Morning, everyone. I hope you're all doing well today. This morning, I would like to talk to you about prayer. Or more accurately, I want to talk to you about praying. So, why don't we begin today by praying? So let me pray, and it'd be great if you could kind of pray along with me, like kind of engage with what I'm saying, and even say amen or yes, God, to what I'm saying. So Father, thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the fellowship and the support, Lord, and the community that we have together. Our prayer today is that you'd be with us in a mighty way. God, would you be everything that we need? Would you speak to us? Would you teach us? Would you challenge us? And would you forgive us, Lord, for any failings or flaws, Lord, that we are presenting, Lord, before you in our lives right now. God, we want to be a people who are fit for purpose, who are ready, willing, and able to do the things that you have planned for us to do. So this morning, Lord, we ask for your presence with us and to remain with us throughout our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so do you pray? And if you do pray, why do you pray? And if you don't pray, why do you not pray? Jesus said this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. He said, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. I want to put some emphasis on the phrase that Jesus uses here when he says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You know, this is a theme and a message that we find throughout Scripture. Paul, in his writing or his letter to the Thessalonian church, said this in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. In the Message version, it puts it like this. It says, be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Most of us, I guess, are likely to admit that we don't pray enough. And how many of you could say that you are satisfied with your prayer lives? In Matthew 7, Jesus promises to respond to our prayers but only if we pray. That makes sense, doesn't it? So Jesus promises to respond to our prayers if we pray. So my question is, if God is going to respond to our prayers, why don't we ask for things? Or why don't we ask more? Do we not ask because we don't trust God? I mean, these words that Jesus speaks in these verses clearly say that he will respond if we ask. Let's look at Matthew 7 verse 7 again. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I wonder, do we not ask because things are going well in our lives? Or do we not ask because things aren't going so well in our lives? In these verses, Jesus is laying out a truth, and that truth is that God wants to give us things. So if that's the case, if God wants to give us things, why doesn't he just give us it all then? Why do we have to go through the process of prayer? Well, St. Augustine puts it like this. He said this, God wants to give us something, but cannot because our hands are full. There's nowhere for him to put it. You know, when we come to God, you know, we should be presenting him with empty hands, ready to receive what he has given for us. If our lives are consumed with our stuff and our preferences and the things that we want or the things that we think are best, what space is there for God to give us anything? So when we come to God in prayer, let's come with open hands, ready, prepared and expectant to receive. C.S. Lewis talks about prayer like this. He says, "Do you think that we regard God as an airman regards his parachute? It's there for emergencies, but he hopes he'll never have to use it." You know, isn't that the case sometimes that we use God as our kind of 999? That it's only in times of great need or desperation that we turn to him. But Jesus is encouraging us here to keep on, to continually pray, continually ask, continually seek, and continually knock on God's door for the things that we need. Maybe you don't ask because you're too busy doing stuff. Maybe even busy doing good things. But it doesn't matter what we're doing, good, bad, or indifferent. God demands of us our prayers. God wants us to communicate with him. I read recently a story about a pastor in South Korea who was the leader of a large church. And his name was Billy Kim. And in 1960, as a young man, Billy Kim began working in a church in the city of Suwon, South Korea. And when he became part of that church, there were 10 members of that church. He retired in 2004 with a membership of over 15,000 members. This was a guy who had worked well for God, and it was very obvious to see the fruit of his labour. But at the time of his retirement, he said this about his time in ministry, about his time leading the church. He said this: "If I had to do it all over, I would do more praying and less preaching." I just find that a fascinating reflection on what this guy had achieved. I mean, how could it be? Isn't preaching a high calling? Surely Billy Kim's preaching to grow a church from 10 to 15,000 is evidence that his preaching had produced so much fruit. But as much as we can say that preaching brings fruit, it can't produce fruit without prayer, because prayer is the most fruitful activity we can take part in. You see, when we preach, when we talk, people listen. But when we pray, God listens. When we preach, people respond and act to what we're saying. But when we pray, it's God who acts and responds. And faith-inspired prayer can change the world. In Matthew 17, Jesus says this. He says, "You don't have enough faith." Or I wonder if he's asking that as a question. You don't have enough faith? I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say this to the mountain, "Move from here to there," and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. So when we speak to God and when we ask him for things, what is it that happens? What is it that God does? In 2 Chronicles 7, God responds to King Solomon. He responds directly to his prayer. And in this prayer, he makes a statement that is well widely known. And I was certainly speaking on this verse and this passage a year ago when we were considering what it would mean or what it would take for God to send revival. And God says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, this is what God will do. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." When we pray, God doesn't say that he might hear, that he might forgive, that he might heal. No, God says that he will hear from heaven, he will forgive their sin, and he will heal their land. So if that being the case, why don't we ask God for more? Because when we ask, revival comes. When we ask, souls are saved. And when we ask, there is healing. You know, God may not always answer our prayers on our timetable and in our terms, but he does answer if we pray. Wouldn't it be terrible to wake up in eternity to discover God intended to save a soul or bring a great revival, but was thwarted by our lack of prayer? In Matthew 13, we learn about the role of our faithful prayers and our faith in general in the miracles of Jesus, where it says in Matthew 13:58, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. And James says this in James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Is it possible that God is waiting for us to pray before he acts? Is it possible that we could be too late sometimes with our prayers? I don't know if that's the case or not, but I do know that faith and urgency are a big part of prayer. So maybe calling on God as soon as possible is always a good idea. I mean, why is prayer often our last resort instead of our first option? And how long do we have to wait before we call on God to help us? In our passage today in Matthew 7, Jesus is instructing us, commanding us even, to never stop praying. And we know, don't we, that we should be praying for all things. Philippians 4 and 6, we know it well. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. You know, God is the only one who is qualified to know your heart. And he will always make a fair and just decision on the requests that you ask of him. Maybe you picture God as like someone who's very angry, who sits up on high and can't wait to throw lightning bolts at anyone who messes up. And in a way, we can often picture God like that, or as a stern father, one of those children must be seen and not heard kind of parents, that if you actually dared ask them for something, you got a mouthful of angry words. But that isn't who God is. When it comes to asking God for things, we shouldn't be reluctant. The reality is that God's heart for you is soft, compassionate, and he is eager with his love. Now, that doesn't mean that God is a pushover, that he just does what we ask. God isn't someone we can manipulate or coerce. I just want to briefly talk to you about something, and I need you to listen to this very carefully, because I don't want you to take out of context and misunderstand what I'm saying. So if you've not been paying attention, this is a good time to sit up. We have to keep in mind that in we have to keep in mind that sin causes separation from God. And this separation caused by sin has made it so that God cannot hear us when we pray. The prophet Isaiah talks about this. He says this in Isaiah 51, "Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear you call." So we know God listens, God hears us. But it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Our sin is a problem, and that is not good news. But there is good news, because there is one communication that God always hears, and that is the prayer from a repentant heart that asks for salvation and forgiveness. And once that prayer goes up, that heartfelt, repentant prayer to God, then he hears everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Jesus said this in John 14, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." In these words, Jesus is revealing that there are two reasons why God's people are here on earth. First of all, to bring glory to God by being transformed into his image. And secondly, we are here to become an active part of sharing God's love for the world. Anything we ask that falls in line with these two things, the glorification of God or sharing in his mission for the world, and the mission of his love for the world, then anything we ask, it falls in line with these two things, then God is ready, able, and willing to do. So do you believe that God has your best interests in mind? Do you believe that God can be trusted to answer your prayers? As humans, we instinctively don't believe that, and we haven't since the Garden of Eden. In the garden, Satan's ploy was to convince Eve to convince Eve of self-salvation and self-reliance. But the truth is that the absence of prayer brings the presence of self-reliance. And do you believe that God loves you no matter what? Do you believe that God will only provide good things to you? You see, when Satan talks, he says things like God is not listening, he doesn't care. He says God doesn't want to give you what you want, so you've got to take care of yourself. But that's not true. It's a lie. God is listening to you. God does care about you. God does want to give you what you need. God does want to care for you. Even Jesus did this. Even Jesus prayed, and he told us to also do it. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he chose not to have all the resources of heaven at his fingertips. So he prayed. He prayed a lot. And if Jesus required heaven's resources, or he was required to ask God, the Father, for heaven's resources to fill his purpose in life, how much more do we need to do the same? And also, prayer is God's way of doing things in these times. We have a part to play in God's plan, and it happens through prayer. Prayer is us telling God the way we think things ought to be on this earth. And the more we are transformed into God's image, the more we think like God thinks, and the more effective our prayers will be, because we'll ask for things that God wants. And the purpose behind the Bible constantly urging us to keep on praying, or to pray without ceasing, or to pray persistently, is because prayer is a way for God to reveal to us how important something is. So my encouragement to you today is pray, and keep praying, and never stop praying. Stay at it. Jesus stayed at it. He stayed at it all night sometimes. We read about the prophet Ezekiel praying, and he stayed at it. He prayed 7 times for rain to return to the land. And Paul stayed at it. We read that he prayed three times for a thorn in the flesh to go away. And persistent prayer, when we keep praying to God, is also a way of refining our requests to God. The more we pray, then the more we will think about what ought to be, and the better we can ask, especially as the Holy Spirit gives us help. So don't be afraid to ask. God will only answer with good things. We know this because Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 7 to say this. And he compares our request to God in the way that children ask requests of their parents. Jesus said this to the crowd in his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And what's more, not only does God want to shower this goodness on us, these good gifts on us, if you don't know what to say or how to express your thoughts when you pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede and he takes your prayers and your stumbling words and translates them to the Father. Paul talks about this in Romans 8. He says God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. And if you do know what to pray for, don't be afraid to be specific in your prayers. As James says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And that's in James chapter 4. And in that chapter, James goes on to tell us not only do we not receive because we don't ask, but also when we do ask, we can ask with the wrong motivation. So our prayers also need to be sincere and in line with what we bring God glory. And finally, as I close, in your prayers, be expectant. Now, when we talk about being expectant in prayer, that doesn't mean we should presuppose or preempt God's response. Don't do that. Instead, expect a response from God, even though it may not be exactly what you ask for. God does hear you. God does answer. And maybe if we are not we're not aware or we can't see what God is saying or how God is answering our prayers, maybe we're not paying attention. Maybe we're not looking in the right direction because we know that we're not perfect. We can all acknowledge that our motives aren't always pure at times and we can be self-seeking. That's part of our human nature. But we also know that God's character is holy and loving and generous and good. So, with all that in mind, why don't we pray? And as I pray, why don't you pray as well? And maybe as I'm praying, you want to pray something different. You want to use different words. And I would encourage you to do that. You know, God is pretty smart and he's pretty adept at listening to two things at once. Remember, there's nothing that he cannot do. So if we all prayed something different all at the same time, God can handle that. God hears that. And God will answer that. So I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray, just pray out loud where you are. But maybe you want to listen to my prayer and maybe agree and amen alongside that. And either way is absolutely fine. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who listens. You're a God who cares. You're a God who is generous. And you're a God who has a heart to shower us with good things. Father, would you take the mystery out of prayer for us? Would you help us, Lord, not to be afraid to come before you and ask you for things? And God, as we pray our request to you, would you show us what is right? Would you show us what is in line with your thinking and your will? And Lord, would you change our minds and our hearts so that we are directed and are facing towards you? And Lord, in our prayers, would you show us what you want? And Lord, bring us and align us to where you are. Father, our hearts are to see your Holy Spirit move in a powerful way in these times. God, we pray for revival in Falkirk. We ask you to save souls, to usher in, Lord, a kingdom harvest that we've never seen in our lifetime before. And Father, I believe that that is your will for our town, our nation in these times. So God, we earnestly seek your face for these things. God, would you turn the hearts of your people towards you? Would you turn our hearts away, Lord, from self-interest or things or places, Lord, that you don't want us to be turned towards? God, we repent. Lord, we ask for forgiveness where we've failed and where we've fallen. And ask, Lord, that you'd pour out grace and mercy, Lord, on your people. And Father, would you open the heavens? And Lord, would you answer our prayers? And would you heal our land? We bless you, Father. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.